Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast spoken peace to our hearts. Thou hast called us to Thyself in all open honesty and hast urged us to come before Thee plainly and simply, confessing our sins, admitting the truth about ourselves, and trusting in Thy mercy and Thy grace. We thank Thee for this kindness on Thy part, and we pray that we may be given the grace to come near to Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. We continue our study in the Gospel according to Matthew in the third chapter, and continue our study with reference to John the Baptist. In chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, we shall see something of the type of message that John the Baptist presented. We read here in the 7th verse, "But when he," that's John the Baptist, "when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." This was the stern message of John the Baptist. And what this amounts to is that when the Pharisees and Sadducees came out to hear him preach, he challenged them directly that what they needed to do was to repent. The Pharisees and Sadducees were two groups of people that we will hear about a good many times in the New Testament. They were quite different. The Pharisees were people who put great emphasis upon the Scriptures as being the true Word of God. They made a great deal to do about the written Scriptures and undertook to keep them exactly as it read. Now, the Lord Jesus had considerable trouble with them because they seemed to be satisfied with an outward conformity and didn't have the spirit of it in their hearts. And so he dealt with them on that basis. But as Pharisees, they were the kind of people that read the Scriptures regularly, prayed to God regularly, and tithed their income, and attended the public worship of God. That's the way in which it went with them. Now, the Sadducees were quite a different class of people. The Sadducees were people who claimed that they had all the benefits of godliness, of walking with God, but they didn't believe in the spiritual world. They didn't believe in the reality of the soul. They didn't believe in the reality of heaven. They didn't believe in anything that was beyond the natural. You could say with reference to the Sadducees that the big thing about them is that they denied the supernatural in anything. So they would say that miracles weren't true, and that life after death, the resurrection, isn't true, and the soul isn't true, and things like that. And you could very well wonder, I certainly would, well, what in the world are they doing around in religion? Why would they have anything to do with that? Well, they're the kind of people that want blessing, they want favor, and they know that God has done things for people. They know the history of their people and know that individuals have been helped as from God, and they want that help, but they don't want to believe in anything more than human. It doesn't make sense, but still people do it, and they do it even to our day and time. And we have both those classes of people in the church today. We've got people who, like the Pharisees, go a great deal by outward form. They do everything that is required of them, and when that's done, that's all they do. Then there are people like the Sadducees, and they don't want to believe anything supernatural, but they still want all the benefits. If you spoke of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith, the Sadducees would say, Amen, that's exactly what we want. If you talked about God, they don't believe in Him. You talked about heaven, they don't believe in Him. Talked about the Holy Spirit, there isn't any Holy Spirit. Talked about being born again, that's not necessary. talk about saving the soul, you don't have a soul. And you go on with that and you wonder, well, what in the world do they believe? And you find out that they believe human things. But nevertheless, there were such people. Now, both of these classes were rather prominent. And when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming, he saw people that were prominent in the religious life of their time. They came to his baptism, that is to say, they came to the services and they wanted to come forward and be baptized by him. He challenged them. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's much as asking them, what are you coming to church for? Why are you coming down here to see me? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, show some evidence in yourself that you have actually repented. Don't just go on this outward show. Give me some evidence that you really have. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Do you recognize what that is? That's the kind of people who will say to you, well, this matter of being converted is all right for people that aren't Christians, but I'm a Christian. Well, why are you a Christian? Oh, my father was one. My grandfather was one. Our whole family is Christian. We always belong to the church. We always go to the church. We always give to the church. We're just known as church people. And they're the ones that would have John the Baptist would say to them, well, now don't think to yourself because Abraham's your father that that's going to make you all right. And we'd say to any man, just because your father is a real good elder doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Just because your father is a real good deacon in the church doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Each one was going to have to come to God and going to have to come by way of repentance. Now let us ask ourselves about this word repentance. You're to bring forth fruits, results in your life, meet for repentance. Meet means equal to, worthy of, repentance. So what does it mean actually to repent? Perhaps I can put it very simply to you by saying two things it does not mean. To repent does not mean to be sorry for your sins. Now mind you, being sorry for your sins is all right. And so far as I'm concerned, I ought to be sorry for mine because they were a sorry mess. But that's not what repent means. Repent is not a matter of crying over spilt milk. Now, if you've done wrong, you've done wrong. And the last time we had our study, we told you what to do. Confess it. You confess it to God. You acknowledge the wrong that you've done. But to put in your time lamenting that you did wrong, sorry you did wrong, thinking about the wrong you did, that's not repentance. The sorrow of the world worketh death. There is such a thing as godly sorrow, and godly sorrow worketh repentance, you see. Now, there's another thing that repentance is not. Someone will say, well, I think I know what you mean by repentance. It's a case of promising to do better. No, that's not it. Now, promising to do better isn't very meaningful. That really doesn't mean much. When somebody says to me, I'm just going to do better than I have, I always feel like asking him, you and who else? Because, you see, if the man did it in a certain way, tomorrow he'll do it the same way. Why did he do it that way today? Why did he do it that way yesterday? He did it that way today and he did it that way yesterday because he's the kind of man that he is. And unless he's different, he's going to do it the same way tomorrow. No, promising to do better is a snare. People don't do better because they promise to do better. Then what is repentance? Repentance is a judgment on yourself. It's a drastic judgment upon self when you admit that you're not what you ought to be. That's what it is. You say, I'm the kind of man would do that kind of thing. And you judge yourself as unfit and unworthy. And someone would say, well, what would be the point in doing that? That's so that you will accept Christ. You really admit that you're not what you ought to be, then you may let the Lord Jesus Christ come in and make you what you ought to be. This is very important as a prerequisite to becoming a Christian. Remember that John the Baptist is preparing the way of the Lord. And if any one of us want to come to God, the first thing we need to do is to repent. What's that? Judge ourselves. How? Woe is me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That'll do it. Or again, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That feeling that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. That's the way Paul put it. Well, now that's the feeling of repentance. And again, I would answer when you would ask me, you would say, well, why is that so important? Because if you know you can't make it, you might turn to God who will help you to make it. If I know that I am weak, I will look for the Lord Jesus Christ who is strong. If I know that I am sinful and the Lord Jesus is willing to come into my life, he can come in and he is right and good. That's the significance of it, and it's very important. Sometimes when I was a boy, I would be told, for example, to bring in, shall I say, a pail of milk. Well, we'll say that the pail from which I was to use to bring in the milk already had some water in it. What should I do? Empty out the water so I could bring the pail full of milk. If a boy was told to bring a pail full of honey, and the pail that he had water in it, what should he do? Empty the water out so that he could get it full of honey. Keep on thinking about that. The way in which we receive Jesus Christ is to empty ourselves out. As long as I'm full of myself, Christ can't come in. It's when I am willing to admit that I myself am not good enough and I myself would be lost that I will deny myself and receive the gospel, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the two words go together, repent and believe the gospel. If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. It's a case of saying no to self and yes to Christ, emptying out self and receiving Jesus Christ into the heart. Now, John the Baptist preached that it was necessary to repent, to judge oneself as unfit, in order that you might receive the blessing of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us the grace to see ourselves as we really are, and to repent in thy sight, that we might receive Jesus Christ. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.